I am going to be your new boss.
It's my greatest dream come true. Welcome to the Hotel Hell. Check-in time is now, check-out time is never.
Does my room have cable?
No. And the sheets are made of fire.
Can I change rooms?
Sorry, we're all booked up. Hell convention in town.
Can I have a late checkout?
I'll have to talk to the manager.
You're not the manager, even in your own fantasy?
I'm the owner. The co-owner. With Satan.
Okay. Just so I understand it, in your wildest fantasy, you are in hell, and you are co-running a bed and breakfast with the devil.
Yeah, but I haven't told you my salary yet.
Go.
$80,000 a year.
TBTL!
What are you looking for the devil for when you ought to be looking for the Lord?
Notice me, Senpai. Notice me.
We've had drinks. And,
We had lots of drinks.
It's like a documentary. This is like a doc.
We're letting you in on the documentary.
When do we get to sing It's Raining Men, Hallelujah, It's Raining Men?
My God, man! I mean, how much more can we take? I can only imagine what the audience is thinking.
We are not ramping down. We're just getting started. Nothing stops this train. Nothing.
I tell you what, if I'd have known what the salary was for running a B&B with Satan, I would have gotten out of this podcast game a long time ago.
I don't want to sell anything, buy anything, or process anything as a career.
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host of this here imaginary radio show. It is the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
One hundo a day, 500 a week, that's rich.
That's it.
We're doing just fine is what I'm trying to tell you. Coming to you, as per usual, from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. Let's see. The Bay Kitty.
A cat is an angel that poops in a box.
Bay Kitty has been, It's perfect timing here at the Burbank Broadcast Center. It's also the time, apparently, that my wife has decided to start vacuuming the entire house. So I guess we'll just get to experience all of that together over the course of the next 60 minutes or so here on this imaginary radio program. Bay Kitty is probably, if I had to guess, she's fascinated and terrified of the vacuum cleaner. So while my wife is vacuuming...
That's my wife.
The Bay Kitty is probably lying on the floor trying to make herself very flat and small, so that the vacuum cleaner will not come get her, but then also being very close to it because of her interest in it. Pod Dog is...
Perro.
Pod Dog's out in the backyard, just sniffing along the back perimeter of the fence. I'm watching her do it right now. She's, you know, I guess just lives forever in the hope that she's going to find some kind of little truffle or, I don't know, thing that she can ingest. That's what... You know, that's what rules everything around her, trying to get some food. So just consider her here in spirit on episode 2292 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
We have got a special top story segment called Older Gals in the News.
It does not bother me. In fact, I kind of like it because I know there's somebody around.
In which we talk about a couple of older gals who are, in fact, in the news. One who was worshiping a Catholic saint for a number of years before one of her grandkids picked up the statue of the saint and figured out that this was not a saint. It was something totally different, which we'll tell you about. And then I was reading in the old New York Times today about a gal who has been jogging around her block for like the last 30 or 40 years. And she said something that was so inspiring, it actually caused me to go right out and go on a jog. And there were a few times during my jog where I kind of wanted to just start walking. And I thought about the wisdom of this older gal in New York. So we'll tell you what's going on with that. Oh, and I'm going to be heading to Chicago this afternoon. And then tomorrow, eventually, meeting the one, the only...
I'm David Pumpkins!
A.K.A. Tom Hanks. And I'm just trying some last-minute things to really kind of... I don't know, put my best foot forward to Mr. Hanks when I meet him on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So we'll probably get into that, too. First, though, we have to introduce the co-host of this program. He is known primarily for his drawings of tall ships. He's the Hodor of podcasting, and you cannot overstate his whip appeal.
Oh, la, la.
His name is Andrew Walsh, and he joins us now. Hey, my dude.
Small tweak in the script there. You can, it should say, you can overestimate his whip appeal. Sorry, that's probably on me. Let's make that
should
quick
we start
change
over?
Right there.
In
I mean,
three,
maybe.
Two, and... But first, we have to say hello to my co-host. He is the Hodor of podcasting, known primarily for his drawings of tall ships. And I got to tell you, if there is one thing that I will say about this guy, it is that you can absolutely overstate his whip appeal so easily. It's one of the simplest things to do.
Oh, la, la.
His name is Andrew Walsh, and he joins us now. Hey, my dude.
Dolphinately, my friend. Nailed it. absolutely nailed it.
Is the vacuum sound bothering you?
The sound of my computer or the sound of your actual vacuum running around the floor? Because I don't hear yours.
The sound of... Okay, you can't hear that?
No, but I got music playing here. Let's just obsess over this.
All right, let's do it.
Just hear a little high-pitched... There's no way anybody listening can actually hear it. I heard a tiny high-pitched sound in the background. But there's no way it's noticeable.
I love my...
That's my wife.
But I feel like there's really... Like, there's only kind of one thing you got to try to not do when we're recording this silly show, and that is do some kind of repetitive noise-making cleaning operation. Now, the reason it's happening, I should get into this. Remember that we used to do ads on the show for Rover.com?
Remind me?
It's a service that will send people out to watch your animals, either like feed them, take them on a walk, or even house sit for you with your animals.
Yes, I do. We only did that once. What happened to them? Somebody give them a call.
I don't know, but we have now started availing ourselves of their services. Ironically, they are no longer apparently a sponsor of the show, but I'm giving them free advertising now.
The money flow has definitely reversed course like a river in Chicago on this one.
Or like a sewage pipe full of a fatberg.
Yes.
We have reversed the flow. What happened? And so we started using this service when we're both traveling. And so what the deal is, though, is that the young gal who's very sweet, who comes and watches the animals, she stays over, watches the animals, takes care of things. I think that my wife.
That's my wife.
Wants it to be very nice for that young gal. And so she does like an extreme deep cleaning before we leave the house, which is great, which I appreciate. And actually, to the credit of this young woman who has stayed over before, she also left the house in pretty great shape. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of a little bit of that phenomenon, I feel, of how if you ever have hired people to come do some housekeeping, some maid service, I know that some people's response to that is to try to clean the house before the maid service gets there because they're embarrassed about the maid service seeing their actual state of affairs.
Or at least straighten up. I understand that. Like, there's a difference between you have somebody over to do the cleaning of the bathroom and the kitchen and the vacuuming and the dusting and all the stuff that is actually dirt cleanup. But I understand that but folks are still like, yeah, but it doesn't mean that you have to come into my house and see that like my life is a mess. I can at least like kind of stack up some things and just kind of arrange my belongings in a way that is less. I think that makes total sense.
Yeah, I understand the impulse. Only a couple times in my life have I ever had hired anyone to professionally come clean the house. It's weird because that's one of those things that just sounds like it's only for rich people, but it's compared to a lot of things that you might spend the same amount of money on. Everybody who has anybody coming over and helping tidy up the house swears by it. And they'll all say the same thing. It's the best. I don't know how much it costs, $100. It's like the best money you'll ever spend. But I do know that a lot of people get caught up in that game of also trying to, you end up doing a little more cleaning on your house than you might otherwise because you don't want the housekeeping people to think that, like you said, to just see what a mess your actual life is.
Yeah, I know. We had a housekeeper in Los Angeles, and here, like Genevieve, basically, we're at a stage in our life where Genevieve says, I'll call a house cleaning service meaning she. I'm talking in her voice. I'll call a house cleaning service, but like, I'm not going to clean like the bathroom or whatever. Genevieve's like, if you want help with the bathroom, I will hire somebody to be that help. And like, for me, a house cleaning service at this stage is not, it just, it would be more work. Me trying to figure out a time when, and keep in mind, I've got two bad cats, right? Or one bad cat and a fraidy cat. So like, to figure out a time.
A cat is an angel that poops in a box.
So to figure out a time when I could be here, interrupt TBTL, right. Work around TBTL,
manage,
have somebody
cats.
Vacuuming, make sure that the cats are in one room while the cleaning person's doing the rest of the house, then move them. I was able to do that in LA, and we kind of needed it more in LA. Here, it's just like I spent Monday night cleaning the living hell out of my bathroom, and I'm going to keep singing because it is so clean. Now, I love a clean bathroom. I put off cleaning it because it's a hard job, but because I don't go in for half measures on the bathroom, right? Like if when it's time to do the bathroom, you move everything that is removable out of that bathroom. You bleach the heck out of it from top to bottom. It takes a couple of hours and then it's done. Anyway.
Wow, it takes a couple of hours?
Oh, God, at least. Yeah. Are you kidding me? If you're doing it right, yes. Like the bathroom alone, like, you know, we have a bathtub shower. No, that's Thursdays when I because, that's actually when I clean
because,
my
like,
tongue.
Is that your stuff? Is that the
that's
much discussed?
I lay
stuff
down
like
in the tall grass and I clean my tongue. What? and let me because, clean my tongue.
Okay, so take me through the process. By the way, this will be a great blog. Wait, am I blowing up your spot? I mentioned your plans for a cleaning
Did we talk about that on the show?
I can never remember if we were like recording or not. But this will be. See, this is a great preview to your cleaning blog that you're going to start, where you analyze how badly people clean in commercials and on television shows. Is that the premise?
Mostly TV and movies. Yeah, it's called Rated C for Clean, and Genevieve will give me an assignment every week in blog form and ask me to review a scene in a movie when somebody's cleaning up. Matter of fact, she sent me a planning sheet. Sorry, I'm walking around here. I was going to see if I could take this microphone into the bathroom with me, which is a sentence that I'm sure you hoped you would never hear on the show.
But suspect it might happen based on what you told me you had for lunch.
Let me see,
2 hours, though. So you take everything out. Like, obviously, you take out the – and even – like, I'm sort of – how do I put this? I do not have bathroom cleaning privileges in our house. That is to say, I'm not to be trusted with cleaning the bathrooms because that my wife is of the opinion –
that's my wife
– that I don't really I don't do a thorough enough job sometimes. But even I would know, okay, I take out like the wastebasket and anything else that's not nailed down, and you sweep the whole thing out and you – spray every surface down with cleaner and you wipe it all down and stuff. And but I mean, I can't – 2 hours? That's such a long time.
No, at least 2 hours. 2 hours is
– wow.
If you've done – so I can't quite get my microphone in there. But listen, you start with – yeah, you take everything out of the bathroom, like everything out all at once. You probably take the hand towel and you set that on your dining room table, and then you remove every bottle of whatever, shampoo, conditioner. I don't know about you, but like Genevieve's got a whole bunch of bottles of stuff going on. I got my own bottles of stuff going on. You wipe those down. You put them on a towel outside. You remove anything that holds soap. Like we have a rack that holds all of our soap. Well, obviously that's covered in soap scum.
Soap scum.
You got to scrub that in the sink. Anyway, you got to take the carpet. If you have like a little throw rug in your bathroom, that's got to go directly into the washing machine, by the way, because that's going to get moldy and that's going to make your bathroom smell. Take everything out of there. Maybe depending on the condition of your shower curtain, you're either taking that off and replacing it, or you're somehow tucking it somewhere so it won't be in your way. You spray down the entire shower and tub. If you're like me, you're probably using two different kind of products that you're scrubbing it down, neither of which are probably great for the environment.
Right.
But I'm more focused on my bathroom
right
now.
This ain't no job for something you bought at the co-op, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm thinking less globally and acting more locally in this case. and so you spray that, and then you let that stuff just kind of drip down the walls and work its magic. I always have one that focuses more on the soap scum, and one that focuses more on the mildew that may have accumulated. While that stuff is kind of breaking down the grossness in the tub, then you start cleaning other things. You scrub the heck. I use soft scrub, which will definitely create a lot of foam, and it's hard to clean off.
It's got scrubbing bubbles.
It's got scrubbing bubbles.
If the cartoon bubbles in the commercial are to be believed.
No, isn't that... Wait, aren't the... Is that... No, scrubbing bubbles...
Oh, is that something else?
Yeah, hold on, though. Those guys were cute. I want to remember who the scrubbing bubbles were. We do something, speaking of projects I do with Genevieve. Oh, it's just called Scrubbing Bubbles with S.C. Johnson. By S.C. Johnson. We do something on our commercial
simple,
podcast where we have little spokes critters. We try to talk about which one would be able to win in a fight against another one. You know what I mean? Like the general from the insurance, if he were to be matched up against like Captain Crunch.
I'm of the opinion that the general is functionally retarded.
I think you're right. I think Captain Crunch is going to win, and I think he's going
to
get
locked
up.
I don't say that to be dismissive. I mean, I think that he, like, I don't think that he, like, if he was convicted of a capital crime,
right,
they should not be able to execute the general.
Right.
I feel like he does not have the mental competency
to
know what he's
doing.
I
completely agree. I think that's a regional thing, by the way. I didn't see the general insurance commercials until I moved out here. So if people don't know what we're talking about.
I think it might actually be just that they decided to dump a bunch of money. And by a bunch of money, I mean $7 into
advertising. And 13 cents.
Like those commercials. God, anytime you guys want to just do an entire show on the general ads. I have so many thoughts about that. But I think that it must be on all over the country.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's just... It's unbelievable to me the amount of money they spend on the ad buy for that compared to the absolutely – it's rivaled only by Rock Auto, which is a place that sells auto parts online. But they have – Rock Auto has – it's I believe it's ROC Auto. They have – the animation in their commercials, which are also national, is the only animation I've seen that's worse than the general. That's on a – actual TV commercial.
I've never even seen those. Let me just play this one general commercial. I don't know. I'm just going to pick one at random. This one is called No Excuse.
There's no excuse.
No excuse.
Not even an I forgot excuse.
If you need car insurance,
this is the
and
general.
You haven't gotten a quote yet from the general, go to thegeneral.com or call us right now.
Thousands do it every day.
And your driving record is no problem. Our rates and payments are low, with special discounts to save you money.
So there's no more excuses.
Whoa.
Get an anonymous
biker guy
online quote now.
Yeah, I mean, the Uncanny Valley would be generous to talk about where, you know, the general comes from. Like, the Uncanny Hell Valley, maybe, would be
okay, do me a favor. Do me a kindness. Go, just do an internet search for Rock Auto. It's actually ROCK, like
in the USA,
like a rock. Yep. Go to Rock Auto and then just do an internet search for Rock Auto commercial. Okay. The garage sale.
Okay, the garage sale. Okay. Oh yeah, I've got it right here. Yeah.
Will you? I want you to see this, and also will you play the audio? I could do it from here, but I want you to just enjoy the animation of these Rock Auto.
Oh
ads.
Wow! Oh my God! Yeah, this animation is like a highlights cartoon come to life.
At best.
All right.
Hi, neighbor. You're selling your action figures. You love those.
Oh, my car needs a new window track, and the dealer wants a fortune. Time for desperate measures.
Don't pay crazy dealer prices when RockAuto.com has all the parts your car will ever need.
There's a dog that looks like it's scared to be in this universe.
Pick the brand, click add part.
How would you describe this style of animation?
Here's how I would describe this style of animation. About 10 years ago, there was a big thing online where people could make their own cartoons. Do you remember this service? And you'd see them all over the place. It's like that, only not as sophisticated.
It's like it's like the freshman class at a community college animation class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the first project that you would make in like animation 101 at a community college. No disrespect to community colleges, but it's It's unbelievable to me that they are broadcasting this as a way of advertising their company.
Now, are you familiar with the hip replacement commercial cartoons where there's a grandmother talking to – here it is. Oh, no. It's a knee brace. Sorry. I guess they don't advertise hip replacements. How about – have you ever – oh, shoot. This is taken off of somebody's TV, so the audio is not going to be great.
What's the product?
It's a knee brace. Here. Come on, buddy. Let's see.
Can you come out and play?
Sure, Ellie. Oh, my. You might want to come here and help Grandma.
Okay, this is worthless playing this on the show. I'll see if I can find a better one. Does that even ring a bell to you at all?
I just did an internet for knee brace commercial and something called Health Hotline and the knee brace commercial both came up.
Yeah. Looks like Health Hotline, very, yes. One is African American, one is white. They have two different commercials with the same exact script, only one has a black grandma and daughter and one has a white grandma and daughter.
Seen those, but which one do you want me to
play? The white one is just taped off of somebody's TV, but if you play the African American one, it's the I think that is an actual upload.
Come out and play?
Sure, Ellie. Oh, my. You might want to come here and help Grandma.
What's the matter, Grandma? Can't you stand?
Oh, sorry, honey. It's my knees. They don't work the way they used to.
Does this ever happen to you?
No.
Are you on Medicare?
I've seen this ad.
What do you think?
How much do you think? I think it's amazing. I think Pixar has done it again.
This was actually a little short that they played before the feature film.
Yeah, Grandma hurt her knee stomping on a desk lamp.
Right.
That's a deep dive on Pixar there. I wonder how much it costs for one airing of one of those ads. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder much money they're spending for that to happen one time. I remember once hearing that there were certain – when we were doing the night show on Cairo. I don't know if a salesperson said this just to hurt my feelings. It's very possible. But I remember hearing that during certain periods of time, you could run a commercial on Cairo for $25.
Oh, wow.
Which I found amazing.
I want to buy a commercial.
We should actually start advertising TVTL on Cairo.
If it's only $25, I'll buy four and you buy four.
In the olden days, I don't know all the ins and outs of this, but the sense I had was you could buy kind of like, leftover spot time so that if ever there was an hour of the broadcast day that wasn't overly full of commercials, one of your commercials would just kind of get aired. But you couldn't ever say with any regularity when it would be on. It's like you don't get to pick the time. It just would air when it airs. But the trade-off is it's really cheap.
Right.
And it turned out we didn't have a lot of advertising on the night show when I was there.
That's interesting. Yet you had a long, long, prosperous time on that air time slot. Why am I saying that? Now I'm sorry. I'm using half of my brain to concentrate. I'm trying to figure out the last time that this Health Hotline commercial. You can go to this website that will tell you like the last time a commercial has aired, like anywhere in the country and on what network it has aired. Like, I like digging into this stuff. I'm not finding a lot on the knee brace commercial though.
I have seen that though. So I do know that that's a real thing, but I think I've caught that a couple of times. You know, maybe during a very, very late airing of Forensic Files. I'm talking 2-3 in the morning. As far as prime Forensic Files time, I can almost tell you all the commercials that will come on. There will be Invent Help with George Foreman. People always ask me, hey, George, what should I do with my invention? And then it's an ad for – it's like a caveman pounding on a stone wheel, a cartoon of that. And it's George Foreman telling you to use Invent Help to patent your invention. There are a lot of medical commercials, as you might imagine. Then there's always there's a lot of promos for the other shows that are on HLN, which all look just absolutely unwatchable to me. Can I say one thing on Forensic Files? I know that I've been beating this drum for a while, but that thing is really starting to have a moment, and you're going to hear – I made this prediction 2 or 3 years ago. I might have been too early. Watch this space. Forensic Files is about to blow up. There's going to be an SNL sketch about it, I bet you, in the next 6 months. People are talking about it. More and more people, when I run into them, like mention, oh, I watch Forensic Files, even like kind of semi-famous people. Lindy West, it's her go-to hotel room watching. I think it's going to have a moment.
Yeah, so I caught Genevieve watching it the other day, too.
Caught her?
Well, whatever the word is that you would use. I walked in on her. Was that better or worse?
Doing her stuff. Yeah. Which it turned out was Forensic Files.
Right. So I'm sorry. We're on a million different tangents here. I was looking up. I did see that the last time this knee or back brace commercial aired was just recently on School of Rock, the movie, which is airing on Teen Nick. So I'm surprised. I'm a little bit surprised about the placement there. I think they're going for the wrong audience. I'm not joking about that, by the way.
Not a ton of research as to who the possible demo is.
Yeah.
Like that will be watching Teen Nick and also who the demo is that needs various parts of their body replaced for walking.
You're thinking this isn't even aimed at the children of like, well, you know, mom's getting older. I'm talking to my imaginary spouse here. Mom's getting older. Maybe we should, you know, get her one of these back braces. No, this is that you're not even getting that kind of targeting with this ad.
Right. Dad's in the den, can't get enough YouTube.
Oh, Ked Woodley. Got it.
We have been starting most of our days with Ked Woodley.
In the Burbank household?
It's like Reveille.
Genevieve's excited when I start singing it. I've been mostly drinking tea lately. I don't know why, as you probably recall, because I was a big baby about it. I was like sick for 2 or 3 weeks and or four or whatever that was. And so I started drinking a lot of tea. And as has happened to me in the past, it kind of got me off my coffee game for a while. So now I've just been drinking Earl Grey. Actually, today I switched it up a little bit, Luke. And I'm trying some English breakfast here. I think I prefer the Earl Grey. But, yeah, I've been – it's a good thing, too, because whenever coffee is made in the house, I do my own Ked Woodley impression loudly.
So why do you think your upstairs neighbor is playing all that drum and bass music?
Right.
He's trying to push back against the Woodley that's coming into his life.
Rolling
up through the floorboards.
You can't sing it quietly. I mean, what, are you going to mumble that song?
Rolling on the bed.
No, it's not how it works.
It's meant to be sung loud and proud.
Belted.
Carrie mentioned the other day, he seems old to be living with his parents in the song.
Yes. Yes, he does.
You know?
He absolutely does.
I have this week, Andrew, shifted back to drinking coffee without any cream in it. It's just black coffee and then a little hit of Splenda. And this is because I am trying something called intermittent fasting. I've been reading about this for a while. A lot of people swear by it. You know who swears by this, believe it or not? Tom Baudette.
Oh, really?
He famously says, "We'll leave the light on for you. God damn it, I'm hungry."
Yes, I remember that. That intermittently fasting. Now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what that tag is about. Mm-hmm. He really does. He does this intermittent fasting. He was probably the first person to tell me about it. But I was reading about it the other day, and it's this idea that like – and it flies in the face of what we've always been told, which is breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Of the things we eat.
I got that. It seems to be a growing body of research that says you're actually better off throughout the week for certain periods of time, either for 24 hours during the week, like you just take a day and don't eat, or if you can like sort of not eat after dinner and then push that in the morning until lunchtime. You can kind of skip breakfast. All kinds of – and please, everybody – well, actually, you know what? Fire away. Everybody who wants to tell me your opinion on this, I welcome it because it's not less informed than mine. I read like three articles about it this morning. But the supposed idea is that your body more efficiently handles calories when you're not eating all the time. And in fact, these periods of fasting really help your body get rid of fat. And it doesn't do the thing we've always been told, which is that your body's going to go into starvation mode and it's going to try to hold on to everything. But anyway, what I realized was I already basically do this because I don't usually eat breakfast. I just have coffee in the morning, but I always have a ton of half and half in it. And I realized that if I got the half and half out of there, I would typically go from about 9 at night till noon just not eating anyway. So I'm trying to be more intentional about it. And I don't know, so far so good. I hope it impresses Tom Hanks. I mean, that's the main reason I'm doing it. I don't know if I have enough time since I started doing this on Monday. If Monday through Thursday is enough time to build my beef castle like I want to, but I'm going to give it a shot.
How does Carrie feel about all of these things you do?
I would say medium eye roll. No, that's not true. That's actually not true at all. She's very sweet and cooks dinners. Like last night we had – well, two nights ago she roasted a chicken. That was delicious. And then last night we had some leftovers from that. But she's careful to make things that are grind-friendly for me. She made me some low-carb pizza dough over the weekend made out of almond flour. And I had a delicious pizza when watching the football game. So, no, she's helpful with it. I mean, she's not a person who has to really, like, think about those things ever. But so she could very easily just be like, dude, this is – whatever your wacky schemes and plans are, don't drag me into it. But I think she generally goes along with it just to be helpful to me, mm-hmm. which I appreciate.
I'm just curious.
She's not vacuuming the house during my attempts at broadcasting.
Come on.
She's a pretty great wife.
Yeah, that's good. There's something about that. Like, you do whatever you want. Like, I don't want to sit here and, you know, it's not my place to judge. And I know it's fun to talk about on the show, but there is something about like especially this one, the fasting, that just seems so. And again, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't do it, or I honestly, Luke, don't want anything I say here to affect how you feel about how you go about doing this. It's really none of my business. But let me put it this way. While I am often envious of people who are in better shape than me and have better kind of lifestyle choices than I do, I'm not jealous of the kind of, it doesn't sound fun to me, the kind of, okay, well, I'm going to fast now and I'm going to do this thing. And, you know, the idea of maybe a cleanse, and maybe that's just like kind of a different word for it. And I'm sure, you know, that's a hot debate too about whether cleanses are healthy or useful or anything like that. At least like to my, you know, obsessive compulsive brain, the idea of cleansing something obviously appeals to me. I'm not joking. Like, but that's also probably the same part of my brain that likes the idea of...
You take out every internal organ, yeah, you put them on a towel.
You dry them off. You wipe them down. You dry them off. You let them drain. You wait for all the... You wait for the soap to stop being slimy and be a nice...
Yep.
Hardened thing. And then you put it all back inside. But yeah, I am more envious of the people who are kind of like, hey, I live a healthy lifestyle. I hike a lot and, you know, I just enjoy this kind of food. And, you know, like I have a lot of friends who are just kind of like, yeah, I just enjoy kind of crunchy foods or whatever. And I look at them eating their yogurt in the morning with their dry oats on it, which isn't even probably that healthy. But when I was new in public radio and I'm just like, I'm bringing like brown sack bologna sandwiches to work and other people are like eating Greek yogurt with like oats on top. And I just thought it was the most exotic thing you could imagine. Me coming from Ohio, of course, the cased meat capital of the world. I'm dubbing it that. Anyway, I can sort of see that. I wish I had better instincts. I wish I had better, not even instincts so much as desires, sort of, you know, that my body didn't make me want to just like eat a summer sausage at 2 a.m. Having said that, I'm more envious of the more kind of holistic, this is just what I do, this is my thing. But the idea of kind of like being like, okay, I'm going to try this new thing where I'm just going to kind of like, you know, extend the period where I don't eat at night and kind of call it a fast or whatever. And I mean, if it works for folks, it works for you. And if you find it enjoyable, that's great. I would never want to take that away. For me, though, that's so, and this is where maybe I'll be hurt feelings town. It's not about feeling good. It's about looking good. It seems so external facing to me.
Mm-hmm. I think it absolutely is. This was my thought on it. If I had to like radically change my life to make this happen, I wouldn't have even tried it. But the radical change in my life for this to happen involved just not putting half and half in my coffee. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's literally it. Because again, I just have never been a big breakfast eater. And so I realized, well, first of all, when you're sleeping, that's just free. Unless you get up in the middle of the night and go make, you know how like, speaking of TV commercials, I feel like in TV commercials and like comic lore growing up, there was a lot where like a guy would get up in the middle of the night and make a huge sub sandwich.
Yeah. Or like people are often having like, even on The Sopranos, that's like the most modern show I can think doing it. But a lot in the 80s, people just kind of like, oh, I ran into you in the kitchen because we're both up making a snack.
I feel like people were up making sandwiches and drinking buttermilk in the middle of the night.
I know, or eating cheesecake and it's the Golden Girls.
A lot more in the olden days than now. Like, nothing feels less appealing to me at 3 a.m. than getting up and making a huge sandwich.
Yeah.
But anyway, my thought on this was, I already don't really eat that much breakfast. And by the way, it doesn't mean I have to do this every single day of my life. Like, if – if it's like the weekend and Addie's coming over, we're going to go get some brunch or whatever. Like, that's fine. I'm not saying I'm never going to eat breakfast again. But the simple act of just not putting half and a half in my coffee, if that means that I will naturally be not eating for about 15 hours a day, give or take, that just, if based on everything I've been reading, I thought, well, what's the downside? I know what you're saying, though. It is 100% external facing, and I like your use of corporate jargon. I really appreciate that.
I didn't even catch that, but yeah.
You're totally right. And I mean, we don't have to rehab this conversation because I have some running version of this constantly. I'll tell you this, okay? I just said we don't have to rehab the conversation, but I was looking at my Withings app today, and here's the thing that I'm happy about. It tracks my weight. You know, I have this watch that talks to my phone. The scale is integrated. This is, you know, a lot of tracking of my behaviors. What I'm happy about is, I was looking at over, like, basically when I was kind of at my heaviest was last spring. And then I lost some weight going into the summer. And then in December, it's amazing. I just watched my weight climb, you know, climb of like 5 to 8 pounds. But I watched my weight just in the month of December, because it's all based on the date and when you weigh yourself. I could watch my life in my weight, as far as like if I was on my grind or not, or if I just kind of said like, screw it, it's December, I'm going on a pizza cruise, let's just do this. And I could see it sort of going back down again now because I'm trying to get back on my grind. And one thing I was happy about was the progress that I made in the summer to kind of get my fitness on. I eroded some of it in the month of December, but not all of it. And now I feel like I don't have to do that much work to get back down to where I want to be, which is a nice feeling for me. Again, admittedly, this is 100% so that when I walk on stage tomorrow night to do Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, I won't be thinking like, God, are the buttons on this shirt about to burst? Oh, do I look, you know, chunkier than I want to? I know that this is 100% about vanity. And I mean, I have declared on this show at least 100 times that I'm past all of that, that I'm just going to be like, it is what it is. I'm a 40-year-old man. I'm going to stop putting baldness powder on my bald spot when I'm going to perform in front of people. Like, I'm just going to be me.
And then
I can
just drive my laser helmet off a laser cliff.
You know that I made a GIF of that to send you and I forgot to send
no,
you?
No, of what? Of the guy? Of one of the
Bruce Channeling saying he wants to drive his laser helmet off. He wants to drive his laser car off a laser cliff. I made it and then I thought, this is going to be weird to send this to Andrew just out of the blue. So then I didn't.
Do you want to?
I want you to know.
Did you make it using that YouTube thing?
I did the exact thing
awesome.
That you taught me.
Let's
about,
use that. Sensei. Maybe we can just use that as a show pick today. Because you can make animated GIFs the show picks.
If I still have it, I don't know like where it went when I didn't send it to you. Like it was on my desktop maybe. I know.
We'll figure it out.
I'll poke around for it. But yes, exactly. Like I the cycles of my life, I guess, are maybe will always be like thinking way too much about what other people are thinking of me and being very like, you know, vain and sad that I, you know, am 40 years old and I don't look like I looked when I was 25, which, by the way, was no great shakes. That's the funny part. That kind of cycle. And then sometimes just being like way more zen, like, hey, it is what it is, man. We're all just on this. We're all on this blue marble traveling around a
all right,
fireball.
Donovan. Okay, Donovan, calm down.
Like, you know, like I have that phase. And then I have, I guess, maybe the phase I'm in now where I'm like, got a laser helmet on while last night. Carrie had gone to bed. I wish you could have caught me, dude. It was amazing.
You're gonna paint a picture that I will not be able to unsee, right?
Laser helmet on. Four hours into my intentional fast. Crest 3D white strips on my teeth.
Oh my God. Do you put a nose strip on so you didn't snore?
Jackpot. No, but you know what? I ordered a like an anti-snoring gizmo that goes under my pillow too.
It goes under your pillow.
I'm gonna see if I can find the link to this. I know. I'm sorry. Today's show is just all over the map.
Just
but,
us looking things up online.
Yeah, basically. It's hold on. I'm gonna ask Carrie. She'll know. Hey, Carrie. Carrie, what's the snoring thing called? What's the anti-snoring thing called that we bought?
Nora.
Okay, thanks. she was listening to TBTL. So anyway, goodbye universe.
Oh, I heard the word Hasbro in the background, and I was like, oh, that's funny. We were talking about Hasbro yesterday. I didn't recognize the voice.
Yesterday's show on her cell phone.
How did she like it?
To ask her on today's show. She had a look of disappointment on her face. So that's kind of fairly typical.
She was definitely listening to yesterday's show then. Good.
Okay, so she actually, let's see, Nora Snore Device. She actually was the one who sent me the link to this. And she was said, kind of, I think jokingly, like, well, this is some smart technology I can get behind. Can I play you a little bit of this video?
Please.
Okay.
And tell me the last place it aired. I'm assuming
this is Nora.
Nick.
A smart snoring solution that you want to have in your bedroom. This is you, well rested and fresh. But you used to be more like this. Thanks to your outstanding.
By the way, the woman punches her husband for snoring, which I don't approve of.
I don't like the punching.
I don't approve of any of that. Anyway.
Performance. You got a lot of this. Yep, your snoring is putting a damper on things at home. And you know it can increase the chance of strokes and heart attacks. So you go out there and try all kinds of anti-snore products.
Okay, can you pause this for a second?
Yes, please.
So this has all been case. I just want to use some of that terminology. This has all been setting up what the case is, which
right.
we all know that. Like, this is what, 30, 40 seconds, and we know the snoring is the problem. Okay. Now,
sorry.
Nora, what is the solution?
This is exactly where we make that pivot.
You meet Nora.
Nora is a small Filipino woman who sits at the side of your bed.
With a stick.
With a fly swatter. Just whacks you on the side of your face when you snore. No, Nora is a little, what we would call a pebble, you know, which is like a little kind of digital, looks like a mouse, like a wireless mouse you would use, but it's white.
How big is about the size of a wireless mouse?
Almost exactly the size of a wireless mouse you would use to control your computer.
I've never heard
you
of the
sit on the nightstand.
Pebble. What is is pebble mean any kind of accessory?
Any
on
kind
your
of
computer?
A smart, any kind of a smart. I've heard Pebble used as a way to refer to any kind of sort of smart device that is somehow monitoring things. Like,
oh,
I mean,
okay.
It's also a brand of, it's a brand of smartwatch, but it's also, well, just take a listen.
Okay.
Using Nora is simple. Just pick your favorite pillow, put the expander in your pillowcase.
The expander, Andrew, is like a bladder that can be inflated or deflated.
Okay.
Tap Nora and go to sleep. When you start snoring, Nora gently moves your head so you stop before your partner wakes up. The science of it is simple.
So basically, this little doodad that you put on your nightstand, supposedly, and I won't find out for 6 to 8 weeks because it's back ordered, supposedly this thing is super sensitive and can hear you starting to snore. And when it hears that, it tells this little pump device that's under your bed in a very, I have to say, very stylish little case to start inflating the air bladder and gently lifting your head up and then letting it down. And this is, according to their video, this is supposed to be enough to change your sleeping pattern without waking you up so that you stop snoring.
Right. That, I'd give it a shot. I'd give it a shot. There's been lately, Genevieve and I are both snorers, but I'm probably worse at this point. I think it goes up and down with our weight as well. And you know, we're both snorers. We both, I think, have to put up with it. So we don't really, you know, it doesn't cause problems in the relationship, I don't think, as we both deal with it. Having said that, I think I'm the one who's doing it more lately. So I feel bad. There's been several nights where I've woken up and I've seen that Genevieve's listening to, you know, her headphones, which means she's got her white noise machine on. We both have our, like, white noise, like, our fancy white noise apps where you can create soundscapes and stuff. And sometimes I have to do that for her, but she's been doing that for me lately, I noticed.
Man, when you start to listen to the white noise app in your headphones, that is like, that's when you start, that's intravenous white noise. That's when you've crossed the Rubicon from, it starts with like, oh, you know what? Put the fan on, honey. And then like the fan's not enough. Then you get the white noise machine and white noise app on your phone and you start playing it just like on the side of, you know, you put on the nightstand, you plug the phone in, you play the white noise app. And then one day you realize, I could just listen to this on my headphones. And then it's just like, it's just going, pumping directly into your brain. I've started doing that, like if Carrie and I are at a hotel and it's still kind of in the afternoon and I want to take a nap, but she's in there doing things, I'll do that. I scare myself because I'm already getting to the point where I have a hard time sleeping without the white noise machine. Mm. And now if I go to like white noise in my earbuds, I'm never coming back from that because it's so surrounding and it's great. It envelops your head in like a, you know, in just a bubble of anonymous noise that helps me sleep anyway. But
yeah, I've never used a white noise without headphones because I don't think that Genevieve. Yeah, I don't think that. I mean, Genevieve and I have never had that talk. I'm still waiting to have that talk with her. But we've never like kind of been like, hey, let's put on the white noise and share it. Because I think both of us have different needs when it comes to white noise. And so okay. That's just never really been a thing. So it's always like, oh, if I'm having trouble sleeping, it's either because Genevieve is snoring or I have to wake up early the next day and I'm kind of out of my own sleep pattern. So I got to kind of falsely lull myself to sleep. That's when I put on the white noise, but it's always just for me directly in my ears. The one problem, though, is no matter how small your earbuds are, it's never quite comfortable. Oh, that's right. You sleep on your back. I prefer to sleep on my side, so I've always got one ear that's a little uncomfortable, or I just have to take it out of that ear.
I have to tell you that all of my anxiety throughout the entire night is trying to not sleep on my back, but then I make these little deals with myself, and I keep losing at deals. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Is that so? I think I've talked about this before on the show, but like
I keep losing at deals, and I don't want to make a deal anymore.
Where I'll go like, okay, because I want to sleep on my back the whole night. That would be my preferred thing, but that is always what makes me snore. So I try to sleep on my side, but then eventually I get tired of that. So I lie on my back, but then I turn my head to the side.
Yeah,
I tell myself that I'm not going to snore because my head is to the side, and that's the deal that I make. But then invariably my head lulls back to being in the middle and then it's Snortown USA. Yeah. Carrie said that the other night Carrie ended up crashing on the couch. We're watching TV, it was really late. And she said at one point I went and got in bed. She said at one point she could hear me snoring through the wall into the TV room on the couch. Like my snoring was crossing oceans of time to be with her. And keep her awake.
I used to hear my downstairs neighbor snore in L.A. Remember, I loved my apartment, but it was you know one of those 1930s era apartments built in Los Angeles where you don't have a need for tons and tons of insulation and stuff. So our downstairs neighbors were very loud with their daughters, but also they were kind of thin walls and floors. I could hear that guy. He was a big guy who lived below us, and he would just snore a storm up. If I woke up in the middle of the night, I could hear that guy sawing logs or whatever the phrase is.
Yeah, sawing logs. Well, I'll let everybody know how this – I should be the test case for this device because it's not cheap. It's like $250 or something.
Whoa.
Which I was a little bit – I was kind of hesitant about, but then I thought if it works, that's a pretty big
because
I would really like to be able to just go to sleep. Because by the way, that night that she slept on the couch and could hear me snoring through the wall, best night of sleep I've had in like years.
Because you were just sleeping on your back.
Yeah, I was just like starfishing and just sleeping on my back, like I didn't have a care in the world. So because mostly why I have sleeping problems when I do, and it's not sleeping problems, it's I wake up like 10, 15 times during the night. It's always related to me being on my back and snoring and getting nudged, or me hearing myself start to snore and trying to stop myself, or me thinking about what is my body position and am I likely to be snoring. You know, I'm trying so hard to not snore throughout the night that actually it totally disrupts my sleep as well.
I'm looking at the their Kickstarter page for Nora and a couple of things. First of all I want is the little side table in the pictures that they show. That's just background furnishing, but I really like that table. Secondly, while we're on the topic of – I probably shouldn't even raise this because I'm not 100% sure I understand what people were referring to on the Facebook page. But I thought I saw somebody post something concerning your bidet, astounded that you would pay like $850 for a bidet. And I want to make that clear. You said that you envy or you lust after – a $800 bidet, but you did not buy the $800 bidet.
Correct.
You bought a much more
affordable. I bought a $30 model.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's that's currently C-clamped onto the toilet.
Right. How's
my toilet is a C-classed vessel now.
How are things going in your basement? Where you installed that bidet, I would like to make clear.
Yeah. No, I bought like a very simple, no frills version because I could not, even for all of my, I go back and forth this. I always thought spendthrift meant stingy, but didn't we learn at some point that spendthrift actually means like profligate? Like a spendthrift is somebody who spends too much.
Spendthrift is a person who spends money in an extravagant, irresponsible way.
Isn't that funny though? Because didn't you always think spendthrift meant, because it's like thrifty, like a spendthrift seems like that should indicate that you are somebody who is thrifty with your money. Therefore, you do not spend in a wild, uncontrolled way.
I'm with you on that. That's what my brain, I can't even.
Spendthrift.
Ooh, God, he was into that. I can't remember we've had this conversation so many times. I can't go back in time and remember what I used to think anymore. I just look it up every time. I'm not joking.
Hold on. You know what? Carrie might be at that part of the podcast listening in the hall. Let me just ask her, refresh our memory. Anyway, even for my spendthrift ways, I can't, in the current phase of my life, I cannot justify spending $700 on a bidet. That is literally twice as much as my first car cost me.
You're using that guy though, right? Like since you've installed it with the C clamps, what is your long-term solution to the C clamp situation?
I need to email the people who make this particular product and I need to reorder these little plastic discs because what happened was the kind of toilet seat we have wasn't working with the little system they have. And so what I tried to do was I tried to kind of customize it, you could say, where I drilled out this certain plastic slat so that it would be wider so that it would allow me to secure the toilet seat down. But when I did that, when I drilled those out, I actually drilled them out too much. Mm. So there's not enough catch between the toilet seat and the bidet unit. So what I need to do is get a replacement of those parts. They can't cost anything. I mean, there's like little plastic discs. And then I need to buy a different kind of toilet seat and put it all back together. And while I'm at it, double check that there's not water leaking because there's a little bit of, I have a stainless steel bowl underneath it and it's getting like a tiny bit of water residue, like the world's slowest drip. So the problem was I tried to do this in the hour preceding the show because it does say that it takes 20 minutes to put together.
Right.
Well, that was a joke. It's way more than that. But I think that if I actually take like a Saturday afternoon and kind of like carefully, piece by piece, get it all set up, I think it could be pretty useful. And I have utilized it a number of times and I found it to be a nice experience considering it was $30.
You've probably used it a couple of times. I hope you didn't utilize it. Utilize means you use something in a way that it was not intended.
Really?
So if
you said
I were
this
to
the
like
the other day
yeah,
in
so
passing, if, I did I wasn't listening.
You
to
used
you
it per, right the other day,
as per usual,
which you said at the very beginning of the show, by the way, as per usual. If I were to log on to my computer and check my email, I would be using my computer. If I were to use my computer to hammer a nail into the wall, I'd be utilizing my computer.
Are you the only person on earth who knows that currently, though?
I learn everything I say on the show from Genevieve.
I don't doubt that, that is what you're saying is true about utilizing, but that just, you just rocked my world.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Cause I don't know. I mean, I'm going to have to really try to concentrate on not misusing that because I have used utilize the way I think most people use utilize.
I think you mean misutilize it. Hey, yo, I'm looking at the clock. How is this? I honestly, I'm kind of like, boy, we're just getting warmed up here. Finally, we're hitting a rhythm. Have we really been recording for almost an hour and we haven't even gotten to top stories yet? That's not a passive aggressive way to move you along, but where does the time go?
Great question. You know what? We need to thank our damn donors of the day.
Damn Daniel.
I didn't even do that on beat.
Damn, Daniel. Damn, Daniel, back at it again with the white vans. Stasty, man. Damn.
These are the fine people who supported us during the last TBTL-a-thon. Those donations are making this show possible. David Webster of Dunwoody, Georgia. Mary Jacobs of Seattle, Washington. Molly Lutke of Toledo, Ohio. And Cindy Pestka, not Pesca, Pestka of Seattle, Washington. David, Mary, Molly, and Cindy, thank you so much. If not for you, I would not be able to afford $250 snork contraptions and $30 bidets.
That's not where the money goes. You know that's not where the money goes.
It really stresses you out when I say
that. It really does. It goes to American Public Media.
Yeah,
they help us produce a daily podcast.
We get very little of it, is the honest truth. And so if anybody wants to send me personal donations, could get me out of a couple of jams. I've set up an offshore private P.O. box that I'd like people to know. Seriously, though, you guys, thank you so much for supporting us and for donating to the show. I think that, you know, we're about to get a new boss at APM. And, you know, whenever there's management changes, you always kind of ask yourself, like, hey, is everything, what is the state of our union?
Right.
And like, one thing that I feel like, you know, we can always point to on TBTL is that we have amazingly loyal listeners. Why? I don't know, but it still remains the case. And everybody donating to the show and not taking it for granted, not assuming somebody else is going to donate, that is a thing that helps us stay in business and helps us make the case that this thing is, you know, this is worth the APM investing their time and energy and resources and putting amazing people like Amy Wu on the case to help, you know, raise the funds for the show. Anyway, my point is just that, like, it means so much to us on so many levels. It's not just that, like, that is literally the money that helps us get to keep doing the show, but it also is basically confirmation to our bosses,
right,
that there's somebody listening and they actually enjoy this. Because I think if they were just going off of the on-air product, they would probably not reach that same conclusion.
And I'm just gonna go out here and call it right now. Next TBTL drive, which will be coming up here in a few months, I say $20 a month level, TBTL bidets. What do you think, Luke?
Bidets for everyone.
You get a bidet.
Bidets for days. Now that's a possible show title.
Yes, it is.
David, Mary, Molly, and Cindy, thank you so much. This episode 2,292, is going out to you guys. Thanks for making it happen.
And welcome to Top Story.
Our top story today, top stories, plural, are older gals in the news. We'll start in Brazil, where a Brazilian grandmother named Dona Nelly had been worshiping a little statue of a saint. She would pray to it, I guess, on a nightly basis. It was a statue of Saint Anthony. St. Anthony, of course, he's the saint of lost things, right? You would know this. You went to Catholic school.
I always get those guys confused. But yeah, I'm pretty sure he's like, is he lost causes, I think?
The patron saint of lost or stolen articles.
Oh, okay. Then what's the saint of lost causes? I'll look that up.
That's Steve Nelson.
Yes. And that saint had to move on. We broke him.
Yes,
that would be
right.
St. Jude. St. Jude.
St. Jude is the saint of lost causes.
Patron of hopeless cases and things almost despaired of. Pray wow. for me, who am so miserable. I'm just reading from the internet.
So this woman, from I believe it was her boyfriend, gave her this little statue of St. Anthony. And she'd been praying to it for years until her grandkids came over and were looking at the Saint Anthony and realizing that he has long hair and that the depictions of Saint Anthony that they were able to find on the internet show that Saint Anthony was he is either bald or bald with a ring of hair around his head. And I'm looking at a picture of Saint Anthony. You know that, like, that haircut, that monk haircut? If this depiction of him is accurate, really took it to an extreme. I'm trying to understand what the purpose of that haircut is, because it is without a doubt one of the aesthetically least pleasing haircuts you can have. I'll describe it for the listeners. It's basically like you have a normal head of hair and then you just shave the whole dome, everything, and you just leave a ring of hair, like a halo of hair around your head. How in the world did that get started as a monk trend?
I actually know the answer to that. Do you know this? I can't
remember. You're a podcaster for others.
I can't remember where they were, but there was a like a Brotherhood of Monks somewhere, and they had ordered a bunch of hats, and the hats all came in one size too small, and so they had to shave their heads in order to get the beanie caps to fit.
You know, I thought you were going to actually share some useful information.
This is why I'm not allowed to talk to children anymore, by the way. I just lie to them all the time.
So they looked up on the internet and they realized that the actual St. Anthony of Padua had like a completely different hairdo than this little statue. So the granddaughter took the little figurine and I guess Googled some serial number off the bottom or whatever and realized that in fact her grandma had been praying to a statue of Elrond of Rivendell from Lord of the Rings. He's played, by the way, if you're like me and you're just mostly aware of the stuff from the movies, he's played by Hugo Weaving, the same guy that was like the Matrix movies and stuff.
Does that mean anything to you? I think I saw the first Matrix movie. I remember seeing it at my friend's house when everybody was talking about how amazing it was. And I had a friend who really, really loved it. And he was like a philosophy major. This was in college. Mm-hmm. And so I watched it with them. And I just hated it so much. I was so mad at it. I mean, this is during a time when I was very just – I thought I was better than pop culture anyway. But I just remember thinking like, how can you, somebody who actually understands real philosophy, think this sophomoric attempt at philosophy is interesting? I would like to reiterate that was when I was like 19, 20-year-old jerk face Andrew. I may be more open to it now.
My family, as you know, are – they're real P1s in the loader demo.
Oh, yeah.
And when you sent me the story this morning, and I thought it was kind of funny. And so I forwarded it to my dad and my brother. And, excuse me. And, I just thought they'd get a kick out of it. I said, you might appreciate this. And I included the link. Like immediately, my brother David, who has been on the show talking about he took a class in loader at college.
We had him on to talk about it, I think.
Yeah, I know. He said, oh yeah, LOL, I saw this on Reddit. I mean, Elrond is basically a saint, and he's actually a half-elf technically, but he had the choice to live as a mortal or an immortal, and he chose the latter.
Yeah, I saw your text from your brother. What does that argue for, by the way, the fact that he chose to be immortal? Does that put him closer to sainthood?
Good question, because you'd think that, well,
choosing you'd more, think that
the selfless mortality. Choice would be to choose to be immortal, right?
Right, that's what
but
I
But then
would
again,
think.
Immortality is its own kind of prison, right? Because then you just have to live forever, and, you know, they didn't even have, like, Netflix back then, so.
Right, jeez.
It's like, that's a long time to be, you know, alive in, what's the world called?
I don't know. Sauron?
The overall
let's
world?
Just say, yeah, I have no idea.
Let's not.
Because I know it's not Sauron, but whatever.
And then my dad's response, my dad's really looking to up his text jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, his response was, David used to bite their heads off or twist their arms off. He was the Sid of his loader toys. I think that Sid is a reference to Toy Story. And then my dad wrote, Gollum suffered the most, I'm sure. And then he did like a emoji of a wincing face. And then David's response, well, yeah, I don't know how that's relevant. Thanks, Papa. And then my dad goes, no problem, Dave. I have to admit, I'm a pretty devoted, quote, ringer, which, by the way, I don't think anyone calls them ringers, fans of
they
Lord of the
They do now.
Ring.
I love it.
Yeah, they do. My dad said I have to
grab your ringers and let's go pull some tabs. That's what I say.
There you go. Two great minds thinking yes. about new ways to describe things. My dad says, I have to admit, I'm a pretty devoted ringer, but certainly don't pray to any characters. Okay, well, that's a relief to hear, Dad. He said, did you hear about George Lucas building a museum in L.A. that some of the big miniatures from Loader will be displayed when it's done? David says, that's pretty awesome. I'm surprised they still have any of the bigatures. Some of those were massive. I didn't know there was such a thing called a bigature.
Neither did I. Maybe your brother's making stuff up too. Maybe you're going to grab your ringers, a couple of bigatures, and then go pull some tabs. I don't know.
Anyway, so that's just an update on my family's thoughts on that story. I want to just talk quickly because we are going to run out of time here, and as per usual, I thought we had
an extra. you're utilizing the language when you do that.
We do need to get to this other story that caught my eye. It's actually from January 5th, but I just clicked on the headline because the headline is still Judith from the Block, which is a pretty great headline in the New York Times, as far as I'm concerned. And it's an article by Noah Remnick about a woman named Judith Jaffe. She is for every 4 days each week, Mrs. Jaffe goes for a run on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Her route is simple. As soon as she exits her building on West End Avenue between 75th and 76th, she heads north. She runs until she hits the curb and turns west onto 76th Street, south down Riverside Drive, blah, blah, blah. She basically does an entire loop around her city block. She repeats the process 18 more times. She started running in rectangles in the late 1980s because she didn't want to stray too far from her young children at home. Now, more than 25 years later, even after her kids have grown up and moved out and had kids of their own, she persists in her repetitive routine. "What can I tell you?" she said. "I like the consistency." She is an Orthodox Jewish grandmother. She is a public school pediatrician. And apparently, like, after she had her kids, she was not as healthy as she wanted to be. She said that she noticed that her blood pressure was rising and her bones were weakening. And so she decided that she wanted to start exercising, but she also did not want to be very far from her children. She had four of them. So she made a rule for herself that she could run around the block, but she could never be more than two city blocks from her home in case her kids needed her. So she started doing this like 25 years ago. She's still doing it now. What I love, though, this is the part that really like stuck out to me. She said that what she likes about running, let me find this exact quote, is she says, "You don't need to be talented. You just need to be stubborn."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, holy shit, man. That's profound. Like that today on my jog, I just thought, let's just be stubborn about
this. Like, be stubborn. I like that.
I don't have to be fast. I don't have to be pre-Fontaine as I'm chugging up Alabama Hill. Let's just, because like, by the way, it's
more
been,
like post-Fontaine, right? Sorry.
Stop.
I'm sorry. That
stop
was rude.
Utilizing my nicknames.
Go ahead.
But like I was thinking to myself, because it's really cold here. I know it's really cold in Seattle also, but I have a harder time running. I think one is because I'm wearing a lot of clothes. And also it's like the intake of air that's like 20 degrees is just sharp. It's just kind of like it's a little bracing. And so I'm not turning in any great running times in the last couple of weeks, but I was really honestly channeling Judith Jaffe today saying, you know what? I'm just going to be stubborn. And I kind of thought like to anybody out there who is a runner who listens to the show, I think they can identify with that. And to anybody who is aspiring to be a runner or move a little bit more, I just think that's great advice for any kind of just getting out and shaking a leg, which is you don't have to be talented. You just have to be stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a pretty cool thing to read.
Same with public radio podcasting, I would say.
Yeah.
You don't have to be good. Just be stubborn. All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man, it's not from a female.
All right, let's take a look here at our emails. The first one Are we going to read this? This is definitely a.
It's a long email. We could do that today. We could do it another. We could do it tomorrow. If
let's
you
do it today. You know what? Let's strike while the iron is.
Okay, that sounds good.
Lukewarm.
So
because I read this email to Carrie last night aloud. So that tells me that there's got to be something there. Do we need musical accompaniment?
I think so. Yeah, long. I like the idea of music. So we should just say that this is a follow up from John in Arkansas. He emailed us, a few days ago after I told my long story about my confrontation with my neighbors after I left a note on their car asking them to park a little bit more politely. We got this note from John that you and I really loved. It definitely kind of took me to task a bit. Started by calling me Andy, which I kind of just kind of guessed maybe meant that was his way of kind of taking me down a notch. That's often how people do that. Also, I think he said what I was uptight and
he said you're a bit of a tight ass.
A bit of a tight ass, just like his wife. So I kind of took that as I wasn't really offended by that because, he's comparing me to somebody he loves. I thought it was just a well-written, hilarious email that definitely took me down a notch, but I didn't mind. It does not bother me is what I would say.
I'm
so
glad
anyway.
To hear that. And I was proud of how you took that because I thought you were going to be – when you saw the line about you're kind of a tight ass, I thought you were just – that was going to shut down any ability you had to see the kind of humor in John's email. Well, John has sent us a follow-up here. Okay, what are you?
Yeah, I don't know. So I was just looking for Arkansas musicians. I found something called Lefty Frizzell here. I've never heard of Lefty Frizzell, but you said that sounds like it would be some good like kind of folksy country Arkansas music, right?
Yeah, sure.
I don't really know him. What about this Wasted Way of Life? Could this be John in Arkansas' song?
I like this. Right. I think this is exactly what John in Arkansas listens to.
Okay.
Dear Andrew, thanks for reading my email on air. This is John in Arkansas. Sorry about the Andy thing. It was early in the morning. If you come to Arkansas, I will buy you a domestic beer. No tricky craft beers trying to be too cute. Where will it all end? I was not trying to be mean with the self-righteous tight-ass remark. I own up to being frequently sullen, passive-aggressive, cynical, and prone to morbid introspection, but still a fun guy.
Let's get that beer.
I may be the oldest TBTL listener, 67, but surely not the only TBTL listener in Arkansas. No danger of my wife listening. However, I must say that she has an excellent sense of humor and only occasionally refers to me as shithead. We have stayed married through 41 years of living hell. I started this message in order to comment on Luke's dog walking adventures. His offer to F up the other dog walker reminded me of the nihilist threats in The Big Lebowski. We are going to F you up, heavy German accent. My favorite dog walking incident was when a woman in the park threatened me and Carl, my dog, with a cattle prod. One of the few times I have considered cold cocking a woman. Who is she? Bull Connor? That's Bull Connor. That's from the Paul Newman movie, right? Is that from?
I don't know. As far as I knew, that was a Night Court joke. I don't know.
I think that. Bull Connor was a. He was. Oh, geez, this is a little darker than I thought. Bull Connor was a. American politician who served as an elected commissioner of public safety for the city of Birmingham, Alabama. And just based on the pictures of Bull Connor, I have a feeling that he was none too kind to the civil rights movement.
Oh.
Anyway, let me retract my okay.
Okay.
The rest of the story? The crazy woman turned out to be the wife of one of my coworkers. Yes, my dog was off-leash. In another favorite incident, I had Carl and Ike off leash. So apparently John's dogs are named Carl and Ike, just if you're scoring along at home. I had Carl and Ike off leash when they got into it with a black lab. While trying to separate them, they took me down. Then, ignoring the lab, attacked each other. I guess their blood was up. The lab's companion was a huge Rottweiler bitch who sat calmly on the sidelines watching the cartoonish proceedings. I live in the Hillcrest neighborhood of Little Rock, the capital city, or the River City, or rarely, the Bay City. Hillcrest, often referred to as the People's Republic of Hillcrest, is a diverse neighborhood of liberal Democrats and really liberal Democrats. My daily go-to shows are The Gist and TBTL, Walsh, Burbank, and Pesca, a Mount Rushmore of podcasting. I heard of TBTL through Wait, Wait. I had to listen to Luke while waiting to hear Paula Poundstone. I have been to the live show in Chicago. Alas, no Paula, no Luke. A bonus extra, I lived in Joliet, Illinois. From 1973 through 75, I watched Bill Curtis when he was still a local news anchor at WBBM in Chicago. Why I like you two 40-something navel gazers is beyond me. I just do. The generation gap is wide. I have never heard of any of the music or groups that you discuss. I tuned out in 1973. No problem. The Stewbot's recommendation of If We Make It Through December is reason enough to pay attention. And I'm not even really a country fan.
Well, then enjoy this.
John in Arkansas.
So I packed, hung up the phone, then packed my traveling bags and left this message on the flower vase.
I love that. That's a beautiful story. Yeah.
That is, I love that story. That's quality email coming in hot from the Razorback State. Speaking of that part of the country, listener Laurel in Ferguson, North Carolina, on the subject of should I try to take a photo with David S. Pumpkins tomorrow night when we do Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which in case you hadn't heard, Tom Hanks is guest hosting the show tomorrow night. Which is going to be a slightly surreal experience. And I was kind of going back and forth, like, if I should get a picture with him or not. You were saying that that's definitely not a move you would pull. You're very against, for you anyway, asking famous people to take a picture together. And it's funny, I am generally that way. I can't think of any famous person that I've asked to take a picture with. Maybe it's happened and I've forgotten, but I think I generally really try to avoid that because it makes me feel like I'm being subservient, which is a very threatening thing for me for some reason.
And for me, it's just kind of like also like, what are you going to do with a photo? Now it's like, hey, look, it's a photo of me and a famous person with like an ugly background because we had to get it taken really quickly. And like, you're going to post it on Facebook. Everybody's going to be like, that's so cool. You met a famous person. And then what?
You're really putting the system on trial today, Walsh.
I really am. I got to say, I'm not. I also understand, like, I am one of probably like three people on Earth who feel this way. So I understand that I'm probably wrong about this. I'm just being honest about my feelings.
Well, anyway, Laurel does not agree with you on this. She says, good evening, Luke and Andrew. If I'm allowed to weigh in on getting a photo with Tom Hanks, a.k.a. David S. Pumpkins. Luke, I say don't be talked out of it. Hey, life is short, and we better take every chance we can to have some fun. And getting a pic with Mr. Hanks sounds like a lot of fun. He seems like a pretty personable guy. I can't imagine he wouldn't be cool with it. Plus, yes, your grandkids might think it's about the coolest thing old granddad Luke did. And get Carrie in the picture, too. Do it! As always, I'm thankful for the show and the fun you guys give us every day. Power out, Laurel in Ferguson. I had another thought. Even if I don't get in the picture, because Carrie's coming with, I gotta try to do what I can without making it weird to get a picture of Carrie and Pumpkins because I don't know if this will turn your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. By the way, you need to get that looked at, Andrew.
I know. But when I took
your hypertension is off the charts.
When I took all of my organs out and dried them out, I think I might have accidentally replaced my heart with a stone.
Oh, that explains a lot. Including the shortness of breath.
Right. Including the fact that Genevieve is now using a shower heart instead of a shower stone. I don't think a shower stone is a thing, by the way.
But it's whatever. All the rage in Europe. Actually, I'm sure there's somebody is selling some kind of a moon rock that you wash with. Right. Or some kind of a pumice, loofah type of situation. Anyway, I need to make sure that my wife gets a picture with Pumpkins, if only so that my mother-in-law and father-in-law, who I love to the ends of the earth, so they can put that in the Christmas card next year because that will make their life. And I know – I hear the logic of what you're saying, Andrew, and I actually agree with the logic, which is that it's in essence, it's like, okay, you stood near a person who's well-known. What does that really mean about the world? What's that really mean about you? What is the point of that? And certainly when I look at someone's internet presence and it's mostly them standing – in picture, in fact, there's a particular person who I shall not name, but who I knew years ago working in radio. And he made the mistake of saying unintentionally, but saying some kind of, I thought, dismissive stuff about about my former girlfriend, like while she was there. And I kind of went off. I didn't quite go Lebowski nihilist, we're going to F you up off, but I got pretty mad. But what I knew this guy was not going to be someone I was close to is when I realized that his Twitter feed was literally just pictures of him standing near people who are more well-known than he is. Like, and because he kind of, you know, worked in radio, you know, there were a fair number of those people kind of coming through the studios. And so he had a lot of opportunities for stand. But my thought, my takeaway from it was always just like, this is so sad because that person you're standing next to is, this is not anything that they're going to remember or care about. It's just you standing in the vicinity of somebody who is well known. Okay. So I understand the logic of what you're saying, Andrew, and I tend to agree with it. That being said, my mother-in-law will flip her wig if she sees a picture of her daughter and Tom Hanks together. It will make her so happy that I think there's a value there.
Sure. Absolutely. And again, I want to say, like, my thoughts on this, and I realize that I can't say the things I'm saying without being somewhat hurtful to the people who do find that kind of stuff really important. So I guess I'm sorry. I'm saying I guess because I don't want to give an insincere apology. And what I could do is I could stop saying this. But if we had this conversation every day for the next 1,000 shows, which we might, I doubt my position is going to change on it much. But I do acknowledge the fact that I am mostly in the minority here. Most people are just kind of like, hey, whatever. It's fun. It's fun in the moment. It'll be fun. For me, I think that's a big part of it for me is it's not fun in the moment. It would feel very unfun for me in the moment. So therefore, it doesn't work for me. But as Laurel says, you know, if that's a fun moment to have and a fun moment for people to remember, do it. It's not for me.
I will say that it's already – I mean, not only have we talked about it on the show at length, but it's something that I've already played through my mind because also – Addie and her boyfriend are going to be there. It's going to be, you know, like a lot of people for me, you know, more than would normally be backstage with me. And there's going to definitely be a point where it's my job, I think, to probably, well, first of all, I got to introduce myself to Pumpkins. And then I got to, like, you know, say, oh, and this is my wife and daughter and my daughter's boyfriend. And then there's going to be that chit chat. And then there's going to be, then I'm going to have to figure out the right time for me to say, would it be all right if they got a picture with you? Like, I feel like it's kind of on me to coordinate all that. And you're right. I don't think about that and think, isn't that going to be fun? I think about it like, oh, it's going to be a little stressful to try to navigate that. But I think ultimately for them, worth it. Like, I'm more interested in them getting a picture with this guy than I am me, for what that's worth. But you're right. It's not a relaxing thought for me.
Just for the sake of retelling the story, because I do love it, you know, Tom Hanks filling in on Wait, Wait is really cool. And, you know, he really loves public radio. And you'll hear, like, when you're in L.A., you'll hear him doing promos for KPCC or fundraising pitches or whatever.
Oh, I actually didn't know that. So that's – I mean, I assumed he had some appreciation for it. Why would he agree to do this thing for no pay? That takes up a week of his life. But I didn't know that he was that active, but that's encouraging. That makes me feel like, you know, he'll really come to play.
There's a story that people told me when I worked at KCRW, the other public radio station in LA, which, I mean, it sounds apocryphal, except people told me it who worked there at the time, which was, you know, KCRW is a, you know, it's a public radio station that has some prestige but also does not have very fancy headquarters. They're now moving into some fancy headquarters, but they've been in the basement of this college for a really long time in a pretty cramped, old, basement-y, almost college radio kind of feeling facility. And I guess Tom Hanks was in there to do an interview on one of their shows, and this is like years ago, and he made some comment about how, like, kind of old and the carpet was and how they needed a new carpet. And he's like, you guys need new carpet. And they're like, yeah, why don't you buy us new carpet? And then he did. He just bought KCRW, like, new carpet for the entire, like, for the entire facility.
I'm David Pumpkins!
Right?
I just remembered something. I went to a college in Ohio.
I did too. Kent.
No, it was one where – why did I do – it was for a story. Oh, it was a – I did this story about beards for CBS.
Yeah.
And we interviewed a professor at a college in Ohio that had – he'd written a book about beards. And while we were there, I noticed it was like the Tom Hanks Center for, like, film studies or something.
Oh, was it
because
Oberlin?
Tom Hanks?
It wasn't
I guess
Oberlin, was it?
No, it was a college I hadn't actually heard of before. I found out. I mean, I think it's a relatively new college. Although I think it also this year hosted one of the debates, so that was a huge thing for them. But they like the Tom Hanks Center for Film. I was like, did Tom Hanks go here? And they were like, no, but he was sort of friends with a guy at the head, you know, who was starting the film department here. And I think that he'd come out for a ribbon cutting and or something like that. But I was like, that's a pretty smart thing. Just name your film department, your school, the Tom Hanks Film Department, even though he didn't go to the college. He had like
Wright
had just
State,
been,
by the way. Can I just interject there? I think it was Wright State.
That's exactly where it was.
Gotcha. Googling.
Yeah, good memory.
Sorry to interrupt mid-stride, but yeah, that's where you
But I thought that's a pretty genius idea is just start name the department for like one of the, you know, one of the most legendary Hollywood actors of all time. So
right.
Anyway, point is, I'm going to play this one like I usually do, incredibly cool without much forethought or obsession. Mm-hmm.
Just a little fasting.
Totally.
Just a little.
Just. I'm just going to kind of McConaughey my way through it. Just like whatever happens, happens, man. I'm going to be too blessed to be stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And everything will be fine. I'll have a full report. I'm going to do the show from Chicago tomorrow. And then I'll have a full report on Friday's edition of the show, which will be recorded kind of early on the West Coast so that we can get on the airplane and fly back Friday night. So that's the plan for the next few days. Do you have a thought on show titles or on music that we should go out with?
I have two show titles possible, Snortown USA or Bidets for Days.
Oh,
I kinda
wow.
Like, I love them both, actually. Bidets for Days, though, I feel like you only have one shot to get a photo with David S. Pumpkins and one shot to use that title.
I don't see it coming up again. Well, I see the topic coming up again. I don't know if we'll describe it in such a lyrical way again. I had Thinking Less Globally and Acting More Locally and the Cased Meat Capital of the World.
Ah, yes. Oh, God. More on
Bidets for Days?
On that. I say Bidets for Days. Yeah, let's do that.
I like it.
I like that. Now,
then what about music?
Music. Let's see here. Are there any, just so we can do a shout out to the Case Meat Capital of the World, do I have any songs about hot dogs in my, let's see here. I have a song called Drop It Like It's Hot Dogs. Oh, no, that's just Drop It Like It's Hot, unfortunately. I have a song by Wanda Jackson called Hot Dog That Made Him Mad.
Hot dog that made him mad. It's a great song.
Oh, when you great sing song. It that way, it makes more sense. I thought it was about a hot dog that made somebody mad.
She's talking about how she made a guy real mad, and hot dog that made him mad. I love this song.
Let's
I haven't listened to it in many years, and I assume that most of this is sexist at best and probably gets into questionable comments about race and other things. Because, I mean, Wanda Jackson's also the person who brought us the very nuanced song, Fujiyama Mama.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's
I've been to Nagasaki, Hiroshima too. The same I did to them, baby, I can do to you because I'm a Fujiyama Mama and I'm just about to blow my top. So, trigger alert, we're going to play Wanda Jackson.
We're going to play Hot Dog That Made Him Mad.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
The Hot Dog That Made Him Mad, which is
I want someone to record their kids singing a version of this song that's about the hot dog that made him mad.
And why did what was the motivation of the hot dog?
They'll figure that out, I'm sure.
Yes.
We'll see you tomorrow from Chicago. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Hot dog that made him mad. And he hugged me and he kissed me and he asked me not to do it again. Oh, late last night. When I came in, he demanded to know just where I'd been. But I really put him right in his place. Instead of an answer, I laughed in his face. That made him mad, boy. Hot dog, that made him mad. So he hugged me and he kissed me and he asked me not to do it again. Change that he would leave. Well, seen him. Was his face red when I laughed and told him, just go right ahead. That made him mad, boy. Hot dog, that made him mad. So he hugged me and he kissed me and he asked me not to do it again. Well, the moral is to play it cool. Let your guy know you're nobody's fool. When he gets to thinking you're all his own, let him know that you can take him or leave him alone. That makes him mad, boy. Hot dog, that makes him mad. And he'll hug you and he'll kiss you and he'll ask you not to do it again. Yeah, he'll hug you and he'll kiss you. He'll squeeze you and he'll please you. And he'll ask you not to do it again.
Power out.